It's a very short reading today, so you'll be able to take it in easily. So, 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. It's the prayer of Jabez. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, my talk covers much more space than the whole scripture read. People asked me what I was preaching on today at Southcote, and not a single person had ever heard a sermon talk on Jabez. Anybody here? One. Sorry? Anyway, it's great to be back. We do love coming here. I let Bev off the hook. I was going to ask him a question, but decided it was unfair. So he's escaped that. But I must say, this is the first time in all my preaching time that I've been given a glass of iced cold water. And how that really does. I did have a fan on me, which blew cold air, but that was taken away. Anyway, without more ado, let's just bow our heads for a short prayer. Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, although we're only looking at two verses this morning, I pray that you will open our ears to hear you speaking, that you will open our eyes to see you, and open our hearts to go forth and tell others about you. I can forgive people for not knowing the prayer of Jabez, because it is in the middle of 9 chapters of genealogies with unpronounceable names, and there, stuck in chapter 4, are these two verses. And it is a wonderful prayer. And I challenge you all, when you get back, to reread it and take it on board and pray it. We need this prayer more today than ever. There are, just for those who like statistics, 600 genealogies, and this is the only thing in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, in those opening chapters. Did you know that God never meant for us to live an average life? Chuck Swindoll, I used to listen to every morning while our girls were growing up, wrote a book, Living Above the Level of Mediocrity. And he talked about this farmyard chicken, which actually wasn't a farmyard chicken. The egg had landed up in a farmyard chicken's nest and had been hatched. The hatchling was a golden eagle. And there was this chicken running around in the farmyard, dirt and dust, when it could have been soaring on high. And that is what God wants us to do. Each one of us. He doesn't want us to be farmyard chickens. He doesn't want us to live an average life. He wants us to put our hands into his hand, and he wants us to receive that power that is available for each and every one in this room to go and tell others the beauty of Jesus Christ. He has designed us for excellence. He has created us for success. He wants us to live above the average. Each one of us is uniquely created by him and for him. There is nobody else like us. You might say, hallelujah for that. I mean, I wasn't even counted as a gentleman. Did you notice that? Two gentlemen chose hymns and me. That's not the Southcote welcome, is it? I know she didn't mean it. And I love her. There are only two verses in the entire Bible that mention Jabez's name. Yet those two verses tell us a lot about Jabez. There were five secrets to this man's life found in these verses. Five secrets that can apply to your life and to my life and help us to live above the level of average. The first secret, Jabez had a life of faith. Jabez had a life of faith. He believed in God. How can I say that? Because the Bible says it. Verse 10. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel. I'm reading this morning from the New American Standard Bible because I found it more inspirational for me. You might say that's a load of rubbish when you're only looking at two verses, but do you know what I mean? It really spoke to me, as sometimes the Authorized Version does as well. In other words, he prayed. But look at what the book of James tells us. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8 reads as follows. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Pray in faith, believing. And Jabez prayed in faith, and because of his simple prayer that we're still talking about today, thousands of years later, there is no mention in the Bible of Jabez having any special ability or talent or gift. The Bible doesn't say that he was wealthy or educated. He was not a great prophet or preacher. He is not remembered for his great wealth. He is remembered because he prayed to God. He prayed to God in faith, and God heard him and answered his prayer. Hence my first memory verse. But it's his prayer that sets him above the average. A simple prayer made him stand out in the Bible. Our prayers could help us stand out too, to live above the average. But maybe you've hesitated to ask for things in prayer. The Bible says to me, Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. So why don't we call on him? Why don't we ask him? That's what Jabez did. He asked in faith, believing that God would answer his prayer. And guess what? God answered him. So let's look at what Jabez asked for. They are the next secrets to living a life above the level of average. Jabez prayed for God to bless him. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. It is God's nature to want to bless his people. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, God is speaking to Abraham, and he says this, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you will I curse. And in all the families of the earth, will be blessed. In the New Testament, we find, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. God always wants to bless his people, so it is not wrong for Jabez to ask to be blessed. And it is not wrong for you or for I to ask God to bless us either. How much do you want to be blessed? I know that I would want to be blessed a lot. Don't you? We just need to ask God. He is big enough to bless each and every one of us. God has no shortage of blessings. So let us ask him daily to be blessed. Thirdly, Jabez prayed to have more. He said, "Enlarge my border." In other words, he was saying, "Enlarge my territory, make it bigger. I am tired of limiting you, Lord. Here's what I'll do. You can give me what you think is best for me." That takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? To be God, to let God be God, to let God be in control. It takes a lot of faith to tell God, "Whatever you want to give me, Lord, I am willing to accept." Surely we should be justified in spiritualizing such a prayer. For us, I believe it should read, "Enlarge my border" may mean increase my vision, deepen my faith. Some of us think merely in terms of our local scene and forget that the field is the world. Some get depressed because in their own experience, little seems to be happening, and they need to be reminded that God is still mightily at work in his world. Now, back in the early 80s, I attended a conference in North Wales, and the Bible Hour speaker was the Reverend Dennis Applegate, and he wrote these words as a hymn. "Give me a vision, Lord, I plead. Vision of souls and a world in need. Loved ones and friends, the one next door. Then let me see there are millions more. Give me a vision, Lord divine. Kindle with fire this cold heart of mine. May with unselfishness it burn. Fill me with love and a deep concern. Give me a vision, Lord divine, so charged with power that it shall shine out to the lost in deepest night, wandering alone in their sad, sad plight. Give me a vision, Lord divine, without a limit or boundary line. Help me to see a world in sin, not just the field I am working in. Give me a vision, heart-stirring vision. Open my eyes, Lord, I pray. Show me the sighing, the doomed, and the dying. Give me a vision today." Amen. Fourthly, Jabez prayed to have God's presence in his life, "that your hand might be with me." When the hand of God is on you, it is apparent to everyone around you. God, in all his glory, all his majesty, all his splendor and awesomeness, wants to put his hand on us. He wants to carry us through each and every situation. He wants to give us direction time and time again. And the Bible talks about the hand of God in many places. Psalm 18:35, "You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great." Psalm 63:8, "My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me." Psalm 73:23, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand." My friends, it is comfort to know that God is there with his hand upon us, watching over us, taking care of us. Someone mentioned to me before the start of the service that this morning they had felt a nudge. God does that to all of us when he wants us to speak to somebody else. I remember, so long ago now, can't remember when I first met your husband, Edna, but we were driving to a presentation, and he had already said to me that he felt God had laid on his heart three souls to talk to that day. And suddenly the car came to a screeching halt just along the Bath Road out here. I said, "What are you doing, Tom?" He said, "I've just missed the first one." And he reverses the car, and there sitting on a bench is a man with his head bowed, and he hops out, Tom does, and goes and talks to him and gives him a little Gideon testament. That man was in deep, deep, deep distress. I haven't got time to tell you the other two stories, but they cropped up before we got to the school where we were doing the presentation. I was beginning to get a tiny bit agitated that we were going to be late. And what did Tom say? "Rest. God is in control. We will get there on time." And we did. Fifthly, Jabez prayed for God's protection. "That you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And in the Authorized, "that thou wouldst keep me from evil, and it may not grieve me." As I think about it, we pray this prayer every week when we say the Lord's Prayer, don't we? We say, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Sin is the worst evil that there is. It disrupts our relationships with others and with God. It causes pain to everyone. And it is interesting that Jabez had grown up with the title, "The One Who Causes Pain." That is what the name Jabez means. Remember at the start of the sermon, I read his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez knew that pain could affect a life, that he knew that God could set him free from pain. And God has always promised to set us free from pain. We read in the book of Revelation, Revelation 21:4, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." That's the promise that's ahead of us. God is big enough to take away our sorrows. He's big enough to take away our guilt. He's big enough to take away our shame. He is big enough to take away our pain. Should we, you and I, not ask him to protect us? Jabez is remembered because he prayed. He prayed in faith, believing that God was big enough to answer his prayer. And Jabez prayed for the same things that God already wanted to give him. You see, God wanted to bless Jabez. God wanted to give him more, to increase his vision, his borders. God wanted to walk with Jabez daily and show him his presence. And God wanted to keep him from harm and relieve his pain. And because of that, the Bible tells us, and God granted him what he requested. So in summary, the story of Jabez, an honorable man, should serve to encourage you and I to lead lives of practical righteousness, to be true to our word, and over time to develop a reputation for integrity. But Jabez's life also serves to encourage us to pray. There is much we can learn from this brief prayer of Jabez. There were no wasted words. It was straight to the point. It was a prayer that touched on realities in his life. How comforting it is to us to learn that God granted what he requested. We would do well at a time like this to make the prayer of Jabez our own. And if we do, we can be confident that it is the sort of prayer that God will be well pleased to answer. Let us walk in faith and let us pray in such a way that God will grant us all that we ask. And I'm going to share with you the story of a man who also had his prayer requested. "I have everything I need for joy," Robert Reed said. "Robert's hands are twisted and his feet are useless. He can't bathe himself, he can't feed himself, he can't brush his teeth, he can't comb his hair or put on his underwear. Strips of Velcro hold his shirts together. His speech drags like a worn-out audio cassette." You see, Robert has cerebral palsy. "The disease keeps him from driving a car, riding a bike, and going for a walk. But it didn't keep him from graduating from high school or attending Abilene Christian University, from which he graduated with a degree in Latin. Having cerebral palsy didn't keep him from teaching at St. Louis Junior College or from venturing overseas on 5 mission trips. And Robert's disease didn't prevent him from becoming a missionary in Portugal. He moved to Lisbon alone in 1972. There he rented a hotel room and began studying Portuguese. And Jennifer will tell you it's not an easy language to learn. He found a restaurant owner who would feed him after the rush hour and a tutor who would instruct him in the language. Then he stationed himself daily in a park where he distributed Bibles and brochures about Jesus Christ. Within 6 years, he led 70 people to the Lord, one of whom became his wife, Rosa. Jennifer and I heard Robert speak probably 30 years ago now. I watched other men carry him in his wheelchair onto the platform. This was in Orlando Baptist Church in Orlando. I watched them lay a Bible in his lap. I watched his stiff fingers force open the pages. And I watched people in the audience wipe away tears of admiration. Robert could have asked for sympathy or for pity, but he did just the opposite. He held his bent hands up in the air and boasted, "I have everything I need in Jesus Christ. Enjoy." His shirts are held together by Velcro, but his life is held together by Velcro. A man who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, prayed virtually continually, and God blessed him like God blessed Jabez. My friends, we can learn a lot from Robert as well as Jabez. Have faith, trust in God, and place your daily walk in his hands. Amen. Let's just bow our heads now for a short prayer before we sing our last hymn. Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you for your word, your written word that can speak so mightily to us, hour by hour, day by day, that we can turn to passages and they suddenly light up afresh. And this little story in those early chapters of 1 Chronicles should remind all of us that when we come to a long list of genealogies, in this case 600, that we don't skip them, that we read through these unpronounceable names and prayerfully ask God to speak to us. When we get to the New Testament, the same thing applies. When we look at those two genealogies and we look at the names mentioned, it should challenge us to do a study in each of those names. Father, thank you for being with us this morning. And bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.